It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Saturday's in fortune as the Sharks dump in. Speed whips it around him up the near boards. Devils move it out. Jack Hughes down the left side with speed, chased by Granlin. Granlin puts the stick in there and takes the puck away. Great defense there by Granlin. Far side of the ice. Again, Yemets and Zetterlin come together, and the puck popped out to center. Granlund's got it. Down the left, cross the line, throwing it over near side. Score! Anthony Duclair ends an eight-game pointless drought on a brilliant play all the way up the ice by Mikhail Granlund. The Sharks 3 and the Devils 1 with 10:13 to go in the second.
You know, it's a hard team to play, and you know, coming up 24 shots in the third period you don't want, but you know, I thought our 6-on-5 was really good. I thought we weathered some storms. You know, the second period we were hemmed in, but we only gave up 4 scoring chances from our end of it. So, you know, we did protect the middle pretty good for the most part. But just happy for our guys. It's been a tough go for it here, especially on the road. And to, you know, find a way to win the way we did is a tribute to our team.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It finally has happened. The San Jose Sharks get their first road win of the year. And man, what a difference 1 month makes. If we look back at the San Jose Sharks schedule going back 1 month ago on November 2nd, as today is December 2nd, we are looking at the Sharks losing 10-1 to Vancouver. That is 1 month ago. If we go back to almost a month ago, the 4th of November, they are losing 10-2 to the Pens. Since that point, the San Jose Sharks have gone 6-6-1. And while that's not going to blow anyone away, it is a sign of distinct and marked improvement. I mean, we are looking at a team that is almost just night and day from what we saw a month ago. And I know that this is not going to be a team that's suddenly going to surge and find themselves in the playoffs. I know this is not suddenly going to be a team that's a world beater, but you are looking at really just a very, very high effort performance night in, night out from the Sharks now. And it's not that their efforts before were lacking specifically, it's that the effort was maybe misplaced. And I'm still trying to make sense of it, because you go back to really those two wins they had against Philadelphia and Edmonton. You lost against Vegas, still competitive. You lost against Anaheim, still competitive. Lost against Florida at home, still competitive. You get a win against the Blues at that point, their offensive high at this point of the season. And you go out and you have a competitive loss to Vancouver. You know, that one I've talked about many times, hinged on the goal they gave up shorthanded with 0.7 seconds left in the second period, which really changed the dynamic of the game. And then that 7-1 loss came into Seattle, and that's the one that's the complete aberration. Like, I don't really know where that one came from. That's a weird one. That one's still just kind of sticking in my head. Like, what exactly did we see? Then we come back with a game they probably should have won against Montreal. They lost 3-2 in a shootout. And then it is 4-3 win over Vancouver, 2-1 win over the Caps, a 3-0 loss against Boston, which was not a terrible performance in any way, shape, or form. It was just not a win going against a very good Boston team. And then last night, they win 6-3 over the Devils. So if we look at what they've done as of late, they have won 3 out of their last 5, and they've gotten points in 4 out of their last 5. That is just a wild difference to where we were a month ago. And now, you know, I'm kind of intrigued to see what they do continuing on this road trip. Yes, Sunday's game against New York, that's going to be difficult. I do not claim any different. That's going to be a tough go. So is New York and Detroit and Vegas before they finally get home against a good team in Winnipeg. But the fact of the matter is you're watching the Sharks improve. And again, that's just what it comes down to for me. It's like, are they getting better? week to week, month to month. And I think the answer at this point is yes, you can't deny that they are getting better. Now, the bar was low. I'm not going to deny that, but they are most definitely getting better. When we look distinctly at last night's game, you have many, many things going your way, many, many things that I had wanted to see. You go beyond the obvious of just getting the six goals. It was the fact that they scored early in the game. They took the game in their own hands and they said, we're going to score first. You respond. You get McDonald, you know, a goal that's very early into the game, 2 minutes and 10 seconds in. You get Mario Ferraro and Ty Amberson combining on that. It was a great shot, a great team goal. I loved everything about that because it tells you that they were focused on scoring early. I know there's always a focus to score early. Don't take it the wrong way. But when you get shut out and you've only scored up to that point, six goals in 10 road games at that point of the year with four shutouts, you're wanting to get on the board fast. So it was a team response. And again, it's coming from McDonald and Ferraro and Emerson. So those aren't the guys you're necessarily expecting to get it done, but that shows you it has the potential to be one of those nights. When you get goals from unexpected goal scorers, that leads you in the right direction. Beyond that, you have a response from the Devils. So that makes it 1-1 after the first period. Then the second period, you know, what are you going to do to respond? How are you going to come out there, especially when you haven't scored more than one up to that point of the season? You score. You get another goal from McDonald, and then you get a beautiful goal from Duclair, and suddenly it's a 3-1 lead. And to me, that is just absolutely massive. Like, you're watching the Sharks have a buffer on the road for the first time. You're up 3-1 going into the third period. And after that, you have to start wondering about what the game management is going to be. What are they going to do to hold on to this two-goal lead? Because you can make reference to a performance that happens pretty similarly when they had the 2-0 lead on Montreal last week and were not able to hold on. And then you do see that in the third period, you start getting that pushback from the Devils. You get Hughes with a goal, which makes it 3-2. And then Duclair answers, makes it 4-2. Andre Palat makes it 4-3. And then the Sharks are able to give themselves the buffer once again. They get the Mikael Granlund goal. They get the William Eklund empty netter. It puts them up 5-3 and 6-3. That was all she wrote. And it was, again, a chance for the Sharks to show that they had been that much better as a team than they were even a few games ago against Montreal when they could not hold on to that two-goal lead. This one is the performance all the way start to finish. You're going up against the Devils team, which is very, very good, which has some very high-level talent. You know, the Hughes, obviously we know about their story and how good they are and what they mean to the United States and the NHL as a whole right now. But that's an impressive win for the Sharks. Both these teams were on the second night of a back-to-back, right? There was also history for guys on both sides. You had former members of the Devils on the Sharks. You had former members of the Sharks on the Devils. And right now, the Sharks pretty much seem like they're winning that trade. Not that I think Timo Meier is going to be quiet forever, but you do see what the Sharks have been able to do in a relatively short time with those players like a Zetterlund who keeps on getting better game in, game out. But the thing that I'm looking at most in particular is you've had stretches here where you've had Hoffman getting hot and you've had Zetterlund getting hot. And then in this game, you've had Anthony Duclair getting hot. Like, you need the goal scoring to rotate around. You need different guys stepping up in different situations. You know, Tomas Hertl, he's had to deal with the kidney stone stuff as of late. You know, I'm sure that he is healthy enough to play, but does healthy enough to play mean that he's going to be at the top of his game? No, it's probably going to take him a little bit to get back to 100%, and I hope that he is there by the time we get to Sunday, and I just, for multiple reasons, just because I'm sure he wants to feel better out there on the ice, but you do start looking at different guys contributing, and this goes to McDonald as well. He's not somebody that you're necessarily expecting to be getting, you know, a two-goal game on the road on the second night of a back-to-back, but you need to have the rotational scoring. It can't just be the reliance on the same guys night in, night out. When that happens, then you're a contender. When you can count on, you know, you look at Colorado and you have the guys that they can count on, or when you look at, you know, Vegas and have the guys that they can consistently count on, that's when you're a contender. That's when you're in that window. And we can go back to where the Sharks were, where you could count on, you know, Pavelski and Logan and Jumbo and Patty, and, you know, you go down the list. There were guys you could count on night in, night out to provide consistent scoring, but you also need guys to take turns getting hot and carrying the team. And not that I'm saying that anyone particularly carried the team last night, but it was a game where you had multi-point games from multiple guys, contributions all over the place. You know, this was exactly the type of game that the Sharks have not been able to find multiple times this year. And they specifically have not been able to find it on the road up to this point. And we talk about the growth of the team. You had been able to break through and finally get that win after the rough start to the season in which they lose 11 in a row. And they have the bad loss at home, two of them against the Pens and Vancouver. And then you start to get better and you start to climb your way out of it. And yes, there are going to be bumps in the road. One of the things that I continually talk about is this should not be viewed as a linear progression. It's not going to be straight line. You are going to be going up and you are going to be going down. And what you hope to do is that you make the ups more consistent in light of the downs. And you hope that the peaks are starting to overwhelm the valleys. And if we look at what the Sharks have done in that time by posting that record of 6-6-1, yes, by way of losses, you do have one more loss than you do have a win. And you do have a situation where you've only, though, had one true low point since those two games. And that was the game against Seattle. And I still find that one relatively inexplicable in the midst of the games that are surrounding it. It makes no sense. I don't still understand why it happened. It did happen, and the Sharks, to their credit, have responded and make sure it has not happened again. And because of those two games where you gave up 10 goals, when you do see that 7-1 game happen, it does make you start to worry, like, uh-oh, is this still a part of their game? Is this still something that can happen? It might, again. I don't try to deny that it might happen again because the Sharks are not a great team. And when you're not a great team, you can have bad losses. And even good to great teams can still get beat too. You go back to the last time the 49ers won the Super Bowl. I believe they got blown out by the Chiefs that year on the way to having their own blowout victory in the Super Bowl. Like, sometimes you have an off day. An off day is an aberration that happens. When it happens three times as quickly as it did against the Sharks, it's a cause for concern just because it's not it's not normal, right? But still, the one valley that they've had in that stretch is not exactly something that you should be freaking out about. It was like, okay, in light of everything else I've seen surrounding those games, the Sharks have been a much better team. They've been a considerably better team. And it's just, I'll admit, when they had those bad performances, it was pretty startling a month ago. But now, the one bad performance since then is the complete aberration. Whereas before that, you did have a shutout loss in Tampa, and you got shut out in Florida, and you got shut out even after that against Vegas. There were much bigger question marks, around this team. And now they have shown by consistently playing a better brand of hockey that they are not what they were a month ago. And again, that's that consistent growth. And I know there's some people out there thinking, who cares? Tank, go out there and get Macklin Celebrini. Like, you know, I get it. There are many ways to win in the NHL. You have a superstar of a top-tier caliber, and it definitely helps you get that much better. And I believe our good friend Curtis Pashelka of Bay Area News Group even put out a pretty good tweet last night that tells you about, you know, acquiring top-end talent in the NHL. And he said, I guess when you draft 7th overall or better 6 times in 8 years with 2 number ones and a number 2, you wind up with some pretty good players. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong in the slightest. But what you do start to think about is that what these number ones truly mean and what these truly turn into. And even though Connor McDavid is the best hockey player in the world, and he has ability unlike maybe we've ever seen in the history of the game, with no disrespect to any great players that came before him, it doesn't guarantee a championship. Now, he could still win one. There's a long time left in his career. But I'm just saying, if you look at what you've watched out of Tampa, if you've looked at what you've watched out of, you know, Colorado, if you've looked what you've watched out of any various teams, like, yes, sometimes they are won by generational talents, and sometimes they are won by, you know, just teams that are complete up and down. You know, that is easy to say when you're where the Sharks are and you don't have the talents, but you have to look at it. You can't just say, oh no, we didn't get the top talent in the draft, so we can't win. It's like, no, you try to improve your team, you try to improve your talent, and you try to make yourself into a better organization so that free agents want to come, so that better players start developing, so that you draft really high-level talent, and that you turn yourself into something more so. We talked about Quentin Musty last night, and I know that everybody wanted to talk about Will Smith out of the draft a year ago, but, you know, Quentin Musty, to me, looks like a player that was a steal for the Sharks that probably should have gone higher than where he did, because I saw at that prospect camp that just he has such a high level ability, and he's big. He's 6'2", 200 pounds. He's still filling out that frame. He's got a high, high ceiling. You know, Will Smith has a high, high ceiling, and he was at the game two nights ago. And you start thinking about these future Sharks, and we saw William Eklund get into it. You know, he got a the empty netter last night, which sealed it. And I know some people have been expecting William Eklund to be a great player. Like, you got to give these guys times. I think there is still great potential in William Eklund. I think that as he gets older, as he continues to get more experience, he's going to be more of a high-quality player. And as the Sharks surround him with a greater level of talent, it's still very exciting. And right now, the fact that the Sharks are taking strides while developing players, while they have acquired draft picks, while they have been able to bring in high-quality talent into the franchise. I mean, you can't go on with the Devils and not talk about Shakir Mukhmudulin. If you talk to Nick Nolenberger, Mukhmudulin is the best player on the ice for the Barracuda, and he is not up with the Sharks right now. He is still learning and growing his game. That is a huge defenseman with an orbit with his stick, which is about as good as anybody that you've seen since Zdeno Chara. And I know that's an easy comparison to make. Oh, tall defenseman. Look at that. Ted, creative. No, but it's the fact that you have such a wide reach with the stick when you get somebody who's that long and lanky. And, you know, we do see Mukhmudulin still filling out. So it's exciting is my point. Like right now, I am genuinely excited about where the Sharks are going. Because even if they continue to have, you know, low points during this year, I feel like they are still able to grow. And I still feel like they are able to turn into a better team. And last night's game, again, this is one of the firsts of the year. Not only did you have your first road win of the year, you had your first six-goal game. No coincidence that they coincide. And now you get to see what they can do going forward for the remainder of this road trip. A road trip we said was going to be one of the biggest moments of the year, and one that's giving us a little bit of excitement up to this point. We are going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. You're listening to Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
They drop it again in the Shark zone, a scramble for it. Granlund ends up with it, throws it behind his goal line. There's Emberson angling it off the boards. A race for it, it's Duclair. He's got two goals, moves in. He tries to get around the defense, and he almost does. In front of the net, the Sharks score! Mikhail Granlund, the trailer on the play, after much of the work done by Duclair, wraps it into the net. A big response for the Sharks with 6:22 left. Granlund makes it 5-3.
I just got the puck and kind of, I was planning to shoot it, but then I was like, no, maybe not. And just saw him out there, and I mean, that was a really good shot by him. And, you know, just one of those things that are maybe my strengths to try to make good passes. And, that was a really good shot by Duke.
That is Mikhail Granlund bringing us back in, and he is another one of the Sharks that has continued to be more of a contributor as of late. Remember, this was a guy that a few weeks ago had not registered a point yet on the year, but suddenly he is scoring goals, he is getting assists, and that was one of the things that I found most troubling through the early parts of the year, was that you were having all these guys who were usually consistent contributors who were not contributing, right? Like, you didn't have Granlund, well, he was hurt for a little bit, but he didn't have, you know, points when he was getting in there. And you didn't have Tomas Hertl getting his usual production. You didn't have other guys finding themselves in their games. And now you are watching more and more of that. Hoffman was another one. And then Hoffman came on strong, was a big part of some Sharks wins. And now you're watching Duclair have a big part in last night's win. And, you know, Mikhail Granlund just continues to be more of a consistent contributor. And he talked about his game after the win.
Well, my own game overall has been way better lately. Obviously, getting healthy, that has a big that's a big factor. But as a team, we're playing well as well. So, you know, that makes a big difference. And obviously, getting kind of used to all the line mates and teammates, and kind of being a little bit predictable out there.
Well, certainly now the Sharks are able to take advantage of some level of unpredictability. And Granlund, in addition to his goal, made a great defensive play to set up the go-ahead goal for the Sharks, or the 3-1 lead for the Sharks, I should say, to clear his first one of the night. That was just an absolutely brilliant play, and credit to Mikael Granlund. Just an awesome moment in that game, an awesome play. And when you get your high point of the year on the road, it was already 2-1. To extend that to 3-1 and give yourself a 2-goal lead on the road, it felt like the breaks were finally going the Sharks' way. And then, you know, you also look at that goal where Duclair drove looking for a hat trick and was able to get the deflection, and Granlund was there as the trailer. Duclair talked about that one after the win.
We were actually just talking about that, about, you know, me finding Granny there, but no, I was trying to chip to myself, and just luckily, you know, Granny's a veteran, knows where to go, so, you know, he came in and put it in home, but yeah, I was trying to chip it to myself and put it in, but, you know, luckily he was there.
Duclair had gone 8 games without a point. Obviously, he had been sick for a little bit in there as well, but to watch him bounce back and have such a good performance, that was pretty fun to see as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a big topic of conversation before every road game, but tonight the boys stepped up, especially in a back-to-back. I really like how we started the game there, and especially a game against these guys, you know, so fast, so skilled. And we did a great job of just slowing them down and, you know, having good sticks. And you saw there at the end there on 6-on-5, we didn't give them much there. So just great game defensively, and really proud of our effort.
The amazing thing is we've talked so much about the offense up to this point that we really haven't talked about Kaapo Kähkönen, who throughout the entirety of the game was a beast once again. And you go back to his last road performance, and it was that game in Seattle where he just did not look like himself. To watch him come back with this, for me, was very pleasing, because I think that, you know, Kaapo has a very, very high ceiling. I think he's worked to redevelop his game. He's just looking so good, so consistently since that game against Seattle. And just you watch the performances, you know, he was a huge part of that win against Vancouver, and he was able to be a big part of their first road win of the year. And despite the Sharks having previously had some very high quality performances on the road, this was the first time they have been able to break through and get that win. So, you know, even the goals that were scored against him, that one on the power play, which tipped off the boards and then off the bar and then was somehow came back out in front. Like, that was just a fluke play. Like, so, you know, that's hockey. Things are going to happen. But the Sharks always had a response in this game. Like, they always had the answer as they continued. And to me, that's the biggest part, maybe, is that they were always able to come up with the answer. It's that every time you saw the Devils work to get themselves back into the game, you either had another big stop from Kaapo, or you had a defensive play, or you had a goal. Like, there was just moments after moments after moments where the Sharks came up with big plays. And we know that sports, you know, often rely on the big plays, but, you know, this was one where the Sharks really did take advantage. Here's some Kaapo after the win. He spoke with our good friends Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Sweaty, tired, but yeah, that's a greasy road win, and you know, those are always the best. I think it's a full team effort today. Not easy. A great team against we're playing out there, and come up with a win, especially after a second half of the back-to-back. That shows a lot of character, and I'm really happy for everybody right now.
Kaapo was also asked about what area he feels he's improved upon the most.
A lot of areas, actually. I feel the last, I'd say, a year has been pretty good.
Yeah.
For my development, I don't look at stats or numbers or anything else. I just go out there and try to help the team win. But you know, how I feel out there when I feel I'm, you know, on top of the game, I'm not chasing. That's where I feel, you know, I'm doing a good job, and you know, I think I've been improved, but there's still obviously a lot to come. So
Kaapo also talked about the difficulty of facing that many shots.
You know, you do a little bit of pre-scout before you look at some things, their power play maybe, or if they have special players like they do. And then, you know, kind of their tendencies a little bit. But other than that, I think you just try to read the options that are available for the player with the puck, you know, if there's a passing lane or if there's a guy open on the weak side, for example, or up top on the point, you try to take that into consideration and be prepared to move that way. But obviously, taking care of the guy with the puck first, that's your job to stop that puck, and if he decides to shoot, so one thing at a time.
And Kapo also weighed in on getting that offensive support. That, to me, was the big one, is you allowed him to play with confidence. And I think that with Kapo, you know, we saw it against Vancouver and we saw it at this game. When he's confident, you can see him. You can see that his vision is on point with the puck. He's moving to it. He's moving around guys. He's very just mechanical in his movements. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, it's like his fundamentals look so sound at times, and it's just fun to watch. Like a goalie who's feeling it, a goalie who's on an improving streak, very much the way that Kapo has been as of late, is I think that he, you know, I didn't get the quote from him, but I think that game in Seattle, I think that he felt he let the team down, even though I think that the team played some bad defense around him. But that was a game where you needed everybody to be better, but goalies take it harder. They are going to be the ones that react to it a little bit more negatively, and I think that he used that as motivation, and since that point, he's been that much better. But again, the offensive support for Kapo, here he is.
That's really amazing. That's a character, I think, right there. Offensively, obviously defensively, guys, you know, laying their bodies on the line. But that's huge. Like I said, the whole lineup contributed tonight. You know, we go right back and get another one that kind of kills their momentum if they were going to get some, and so that's huge.
Let's hear Ruzzi's take on a couple of highlights from Kapo.
Somebody lost his glove. Referee picks it up. At the near side, Luke Hughes for the Devils. Sends to Jack Hughes in the left circle. Back skates, pivots. He's got Luke as an option. Goes down low. He's your side of the net. In front, another great save by Kapo Kähkönen off Toffoli with 7:13 to play in this first period. Wow, great goaltending by Kapo Kähkönen under pressure in the defensive zone.
That was a save that held a 1-0 lead for the Sharks. Now here's one where he held on to a 2-1 lead for the Sharks.
Down the left side comes New Jersey back into the Sharks zone. Hischier, Palat, Bratt. Hischier behind the Sharks net, spins away from LeBanc. LeBanc stays with him, and now Hischier turns away. He's got some room. He centers in front, and Luke Hughes, a point-blank chance, and a great save by Kapo Kähkönen. Brilliant generation of an opportunity by Hischier, and what a save by Kähkönen at 6:24 of the second to keep the score. The Sharks 2 and the Devils 1.
So a big night for Kapo Kähkönen, who came through with big save after big save for the San Jose Sharks. And again, the first road win, it took everyone. They got 6 goals, their offensive high mark of the season. They got great play on defense. They got great play from their goalies. It was a team win, and that's exactly what it was going to take. It took everybody to get that first win, and now they've got their first road win as well, and it took everyone's best efforts. Now, the real question is, how do they take this out onto the road? Back to Anthony Duclair.
Yeah, it's a big road trip for us. You know, we're playing some good teams, so I think for us, you know, not letting, you know, other teams, you know, off guard. And, you know, yeah, obviously I think teams are take us lightly, and for us it's just having that work ethic and, you know, surprising some teams here.
And I think that when you see the fact that they know what they're getting into, where you see where this team is headed, I am excited to see what happens on the remainder of this road trip. And now they've gotten that first road win. You get that one off your back. You get that pressure taken away. Maybe now you can play with a little bit more freedom. Maybe now you can play with a little bit more just overall joy in their game. And that's not to say that I expect them to go out there and win the next couple of road games. No, but I do want to see, and I'm more intrigued to see where they continue to go, because when the Sharks were losing at the start of the year, the intrigue was gone. I mean, you had a feeling like you knew what was going to happen, and then it doubled down with those bad losses against Vancouver and the Pens. But like I said, what a difference a month makes. The San Jose Sharks are getting wins at home. They are getting wins on the road. They have won 3 out of their last 5. They've gotten points in 4 out of their last 5, and they are giving themselves a chance in every game, including Boston. That was a game where, again, like you looked at it, you're down 2-0, but you're entering the third period on a 5-on-3 situation, which has a chance to really, really change that game. Couldn't get it done on that night, but they gave themselves a chance. And now you look to see if they can continue to give themselves a chance in these games going forward, as it's the Rangers, and it's going to be the Islanders, and then it is going to be Detroit, and then it is going to be Vegas before they're finally back home for 1 on the 12th of December. So yeah, a lot of stuff happening with the San Jose Sharks. Duke, catches fire. McDonald catches fire. Granny's all over the place. You've got Eklund getting an empty netter. You've got Capo getting a big night. You've got, you know, Mario Ferraro and Ty Amberson getting assists. And I know I'm leaving guys off, but a team win and their first road win of the season. We are all out of time. I will see you guys on Sunday. Be back on NBC. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.